This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Our sermon text for this Easter Sunday is our gospel for today from John chapter 20. We hear again just the opening verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." This is God's word. Your friends in Jesus Christ, our risen and living Savior. As a pastor, one of my responsibilities is conducting funeral services for our members when they go on to heavenly glory. Throughout the 13 years of my ministry, I've conducted 46 funeral services over the years. I've joined with many families out in the cemetery as we lay the remains of their loved one to rest. And I've seen the full gamut of emotions from the people who were attending. Some of the people were Christians, others were not. Those emotions included sadness, anger, and disbelief, and they went to peace and comfort. Now, often people's emotions are rather raw at the cemetery because they are still processing everything and coming to grips with the loss of their loved one. In our gospel for this morning, we saw three individuals who visited the tomb of our Savior on that first Easter morning. And this morning, we want to compare how they came to the tomb with how they left the empty tomb. And we will be encouraged to celebrate the life-changing power of the empty tomb. The three individuals that we are walking with to the tomb this morning are Mary Magdalene and two of the disciples, Peter and John. Mary was the first one to arrive. And while much has been speculated about Mary Magdalene, the scriptures simply tell us that she was part of a group of women who followed Jesus on some mission trips and supported his ministry. You could say she was a charter member of the Women's Missionary Society. Well, the reason that she was so devoted to Jesus' ministry was because he had driven seven demons out of her. Jesus' power had changed her life, and she wanted to show her gratitude to Jesus by following him. And Mary's devotion to her Lord didn't end when she saw him breathe his last on the cross. In the late afternoon on Good Friday, Mary and some other women watched where Jesus was buried so that they could then return later and pay their respects by giving him a proper burial. This certainly wasn't a joyful trip for Mary to the tomb early that first Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. Her friend, her pastor, and her healer was dead. And when she arrived at the tomb, Jesus' body was gone. For Mary, this only added insult to injury. It poured salt into her emotional wounds. Just listen as she shared this sad news with Peter and John. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Overwhelmed with grief and sorrow, all that Mary could do was sit down outside of Jesus' tomb and cry. What about us? Are we crying this morning as we come to the tomb? Do grief and sorrow live in our hearts as well? If we're honest, we have to admit that there's a little bit of Mary inside all of us today. Don't the holidays often stir up that grief and that sorrow that we experienced as we laid the remains of our loved one in a grave and then walked away with this overwhelming sense of loss? Haven't you ever had things in your life go from bad to worse? Have you ever felt like the joy was just getting sucked out of your life? Well, our trip to the tomb today, like Mary's, has grief and sorrow. But Mary wasn't the only one who went to the tomb that day. After hearing Mary's report, Peter and John also headed there. And while they too were filled with grief and sorrow, there were other emotions that filled their hearts as well. First of all, consider Peter. Peter probably took Jesus' death harder than anyone else. Not only did he have to deal with the grief and the sorrow of losing his mentor and close friend, but he had the millstone of sorrow and shame around his neck. Peter had left his Savior's side after he had promised to be there to the point of death. Peter had denied knowing his Savior. Just imagine the knife in Peter's heart when he heard that rooster crow and he was on the receiving end of his Savior's disappointed glance. Peter didn't walk with his Lord when the Lord had let Peter walk on water. Peter had abandoned Jesus in the darkness of Calvary's mountain when Jesus had given him a glimpse of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter wasn't there to console Jesus' mother at the foot of the cross, but Jesus at one time had healed Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter went to the tomb that morning with guilt and shame. Is it really any different for us today? Perhaps some of you are feeling guilt this morning because this is the first time that you've been in worship in months, and you're feeling a little guilty over your sporadic worship life. Or maybe like Peter, we may talk about our loyalty to Jesus with our lips, but our lives say something completely different. We lie awake at night because we're such lousy parents, lousy spouses, lousy children, lousy workers, lousy church members, or a lousy pastor. Our trip to church is so often traveled with our eyes fixed on the rearview mirror, looking at the cross of Good Friday, which shouts at us, "Your sins did this." Yes, this morning we come to the tomb accompanied by guilt and shame. But what about John? How did he come to the tomb? With grief and sorrow? Certainly. With guilt and shame? I suppose. John had also fallen asleep when Jesus was praying in grief. He had abandoned Jesus in the garden. But humanly speaking, John could soothe his conscience with the fact that he was there to console Jesus' mother at the foot of the cross. But what sticks out about John is his guarded skepticism. Elsewhere in the Scriptures, we are told that the disciples did not believe the women's report about the empty tomb. It was nonsense to them that Jesus was gone. Are we guarded skeptics at times when it comes to believing in Jesus and all that He has done for us? You ever find yourself thinking, I want to believe, I just don't know if I can. There are so many renditions out there. How do I know that this one is the truth? Maybe Jesus simply passed out on the cross and then he came to in the tomb and exited. Maybe his disciples really did steal his body and then spread the word that he had risen. Maybe it's all just a legend that developed over many years. I never saw a person rise from the dead. Is it reasonable to believe that this could really happen? Satan has certainly worked on all of us throughout our lives. And so at times our trip to the tomb has been made with guarded skepticism, just like John. But like John, it's not how we come to the tomb, but how we leave the tomb, that empty tomb. For the empty tomb has life-changing power. Look at what it did for John. After John went into the tomb and he saw the burial clothes lying there, John himself reported, he saw and believed. The empty tomb had converted John's guarded skepticism into guaranteed certainty. And it does the same for us. The empty tomb assures us that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the very Son of God. Only God has power over death. And therefore, John writes a few verses later, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The empty tomb leads us to stop doubting and to believe. It changes our guarded skepticism into guaranteed certainty. Go back to Peter for a moment. We considered that heavy burden of guilt that was over his shoulders. Well, after realizing his sin of disowning and denying his Savior, the Bible tells us he went outside and wept bitterly. But God used the empty tomb to address Peter's guilt. Just listen to the message that the angels shared with the women at the empty tomb. After telling them that Jesus was alive, the angel instructed, "Go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee." Later on, Jesus would personally assure Peter of this grace and comfort when Jesus reinstated Peter as his apostle. How amazing is that? In Peter, we see a guy who turned his back on the Lord more than once. And yet Jesus went out of his way to assure Peter that his sins were forgiven, that your guilt is gone. That is why Peter could later write, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The empty tomb gives us that same new birth. The empty tomb gives us that same hope. The Bible tells us he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That empty tomb declares us to be innocent. The empty tomb guarantees that our sins are forgiven and also forgotten. What grace. What comfort. Just look at what that means for you and for me. That means that although we came to the tomb this morning with guilt and shame, guilt over our sporadic worship life, shame over denying our Savior, that we leave the empty tomb without any guilt or shame. Jesus has forgiven you. The empty tomb gives us grace and comfort. Finally, take a look at Mary and what the empty tomb did for her. She came to the tomb full of sorrow. She stayed at the tomb crying because she thought that they had stolen Jesus' body. But then Jesus appeared to Mary, proving that his tomb was empty because he had risen. And Mary's tears of sorrow became tears of joy. Mary's grief lasted about 40 hours or so. But her joy and her excitement would last for an eternity. For what does that empty tomb prove? Well, it validates Jesus' promise that because I live, you also will live. The empty tomb guarantees that we will go from this life of grief and sorrow to a new life where there are no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And when we realize the big picture, it really changes our perspective on the grief and the sorrow that we brought to the tomb today. We realize they are temporary. In closing this morning, if you would take your bulletins and just take a look at the picture on the front of those bulletins. You see a picture of the cross on Calvary, but it's viewed from the doorway of the empty tomb. Now, undoubtedly, the most common symbol of Christianity is the cross. Right? We see it everywhere, in homes, in churches, on necklaces. It's all over the place. And that's great. But let's remember to keep a proper perspective as we look at the cross. If the cross is viewed by itself, then it's just a reminder of the seriousness of our sin, that sin causes death. But if the cross is viewed from the entrance of the empty tomb, then we see it for what it really was. Just a necessary step on our Savior's road to the tomb, so that he could then walk away from his tomb. And because Jesus walked away from his tomb, one day we will as well. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.